Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text number 11. Well, okay. Text 10, Anucheed 10, is in the context of discussing the abode of the Supreme Lord. The nature of Bhagawan is the general topic of the Sandarbha, and in particular, that the Supreme Lord is eternal, that everything about him is perfect, that he doesn't, there is no material material distinctions within him, although he exhibits countless spiritual varieties. All these things are discussed in the Sandarbha. The body of God is transcendental in that way, and the abode of the Lord is transcendental in that way. So here we're discussing the nature of the abode of the Lord. Especially, it is a place that is not manifested from the material modes of nature, but from a special spiritual mode called the Shuddhasattva. Spiritual substance, spiritual matter. So, in Anucheed 10, there's discussion of a long passage from the ninth chapter of the second canto of the Bhagavatam that describes Brahma's vision of Vaikuntha that was granted to him by Lord Narayan. Rashi, he was worshipping Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then Garbhadakshay Vishnu turned him over to Narayan. We've been through it. I don't have to go into details. Each verse is discussed, explained by Jiva Goswami according to his understanding. There's a very long side discussion from 10.6 up to 10.24 about this mode of Vishuddhasattva. Because there are those who are of the opinion that there is no such thing as Vishuddhasattva as a separate spiritual mode of spiritual nature. He gives arguments citing from various scriptures proving that Vishuddhasattva is real and it is purely spiritual and it is not just the material mode of goodness. And then he goes on and finishes his explanation of that passage. That's basically the contents of Anucheed 10. Now we're going to move on to Anucheed 11. Ata sa bhagavata cha na ropita kintu swarupa bhutai vetyetam artam punar vishesha tarstapa yitum Pakaran antaram arabhyate. We begin the next section with the purpose of providing, of rather proving, in more specific detail, that this status of personal, of the personal nature of the Supreme Lord, is not an artificially imposed idea, but is integral to his essential nature. There's a word missing. I have to insert it. Hold on. Oh, Krishna. Okay. This state is Bhagavata, is Sarupa Bhuta. See, qualities can be acquired, or you could even say imposed. Arupita. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. No, just, taken care of? Okay. Okay. Aropa is a term used by the Mayavadis to describe how illusion imposes itself on the reality to create duality, to create varieties of material existence. Adhyasa is another term that's synonymous, aropa or adhyasa. So I guess what's being proposed here is that Bhagavan is an illusion, and that the idea or the quality of being Bhagavan is something that's imposed by illusion on the absolute truth, Brahman. I don't know if my translation makes that clear. Sa bhagavata cha na aropita. This status of the personal nature of the Supreme Lord is not an artificially imposed idea, but is integral to his essential nature. But after, I'm a little, because I haven't read this in a while, let's see whether we're really arguing against the Mayavad idea of imposition. There's another way to look at it. I'm not sure if that's what's meant. There are two kinds of qualities in the material world. You have things have essential or innate qualities that are always there as long as it exists. And there are other qualities a thing may, at a certain time, acquire and may lose again. I'm an angry person. I'm always angry. That's my innate nature. But now I'm cold. But I'm not cold. I wasn't cold before, and there'll be a time in the future where I won't be cold. So that's a temporary, or we can say imposed quality. I don't know which is meant here by aropita. We'll have to read further whether we're talking about Mayavad or we're just talking about the difference between temporary and permanent qualities. Anyway, the quality of Bhagavata, of being Bhagavan, that's not imposed, is the statement here. Okay, let's continue. Aprakara antanam arabhyate. We're beginning a new prakarana, a new section. Okay, tatra vastunas tasya sashaktitvam aha. Okay. Vedyam vastavam atra vastu. Ityasya visheshana abhyam eva shivanam tapa trayon mulanam iti. What are we quoting here? What text? Yeah, first verse of the Bhagavatam. I think he was discussing the first half of the verse. And this is the first line. And he's picking up from there now. Oh, he was talking about Vedyam Vastam? Okay, so now we're reintroducing the same text for this purpose here to show that, let me read the translation. First, the Bhagavad states that he, the real substance, possesses energies. And the word is Vastu here, so I'm translating the real substance. He possesses energies. He's sa-shakti. He has sa-shakti-twam. And this is shown or stated by the Bhagavatam by characterizing him with two adjectives. In the words, the subject matter here is knowable and substantially real. That's one. And then concluding, it bestows auspiciousness and uproots the threefold miseries of life. Those are the two characterizations of the Absolute Truth that show that he has energies. Okay, it looks like what we're arguing against here is the Mayavad idea, not the ordinary question of permanent versus temporary qualities, but whether the quality is real or just an illusion imposed by avidya. So, no. The quality of being God is not imposed by illusion. It's actually innate, swarup bhuta. its innate, essential quality of the Absolute Truth. Now, I'm sorry that there's some confusion here in the translation. Asya Visheshanabhyam. Jiva Goswami is saying that these two descriptions, Vedyam Vastu Mamatra Vastu, okay, he's the Vastu, okay, so he's qualified as Vedyam and Vastu, but that's fine. And that Vastu is Shivadam and Tapa Trayon Mulanam. Okay. I think the confusion in the translation is I'm using the word subject matter. The contents of the Bhagavatam. But we're talking about, that's true, but what the subject matter of the Bhagavatam is Bhagavan. So maybe I'll modify the translation. We're talking about Bhagavan here. Maybe I should make it clearer in the translation. Yeah. You know, Bhagavan is knowable and substantially real is what Jiva Goswami is reading it to mean. Subject matter is Bhagavan. That's not clear in the translation. In the way it's translated, just whatever the Bhagavatam talks about is Vastavam and is Tapotra or Mulanam. Let's be more specific. I'll rephrase it somehow. Okay, we go on. Now, explaining those phrases, in the phrase Shivadam Tapa Trayon Mulanam, Shivam Paramanandam Paramanandas Taddanam Cha Swarupa Shaktiya. I see, okay. Auspiciousness is transcendental ecstasy. That's Shivam. Okay, auspiciousness could be understood in various ways, but Jiva Goswami is pointing out that it really means transcendental ecstasy, paramananda. And the bestowing of that transcendental ecstasy is done by his internal energy. Now, the term tapatrayam, tapatrayam maya shaktikaryam, tad unmulanam, cha tayai veti, shrivyasa, huh? The three miseries, tapatrayam, are the products of the maya energy. And the uprooting of these, the unmulanam, is done by the same internal energy. Internal energy does both. It gives the auspiciousness, the ecstasy of devotional service, and also does the uprooting of the threefold miseries of material existence. Okay. This verse was spoken by Sri Vyas. So the two adjectives actually are Shivadam and Tapatrayon Mulanam. Not it bestows it, the subject matter is knowable and substantially real. It looks like that's just the context. Okay, a confusion. Which we got adjectives Vedyam and Vastavam, and then we have Shivadam and Tapa. It looks like four adjectives. I think the first phrase is just showing the context, and the actual two adjectives are Shivadam and Tapo Troyon Mulanam. Excuse me for this translation is just confused. We have to tidy it up. Which are the two adjectives? Okay. Anyway, I'll fix this up so it's clearer. Anyway, you understand what's going on, even though I interrupted in the middle. Let me just go over that again, what's happening here. We're beginning a new section to show that the quality of being Bhagavan, Bhagavanness resides in Bhagavan. that quality is real. It's essential, and it's innate to him. There's no Bhagawan without Bhagawanness, and Bhagawanness is a real quality. It's not an illusion imposed by Maya. Well, we can what will allow us to prove that is to establish the presence of spiritual energies within him. So first of all, the Bhagavatam does state that that Bhagawan has energies. By saying that he's Shivadam Entapa Trayon Mulanam. Because how is Bhagawan Shivadam? How does he give auspiciousness? By his real spiritual energy. And how does he uproot the threefold miseries? Again, by that spiritual energy. So the result proves the presence of the cause, which is the spiritual energy. Let's read the commentary on this. From the beginning of this sandarbha, attention has been given to showing that Bhagawan is the highest reality, not a product of illusion. In this anuched and the six following it, the discussion will especially be focused on systematically establishing the reality of the shaktis of Bhagawan, that they, both the spiritual and material energies, are not false superimpositions, but are innate to him, swabhavika, and act inconceivably, achintya. One who is not satisfied with relative pleasure and wants param ananda, the supreme happiness, will have to look to the supreme to find it, because only the sarup shaktis of the supreme can give paramananda. That's not inside the building, is it? That talking? Are they inside? Tell them to stop, please. Other persons besides the Supreme Lord may be capable of bestowing some kind of ananda to others, but only to the extent of how much they themselves possess. Did you catch that? Did you hear that? I'll read it again. Other persons beside the Supreme Lord may be capable of bestowing some kind of ananda to others. What's going on? Is it in the street or out in the... Tell them to stop, not to... But only to the extent of how much they themselves possess. According to the Ananda Mimamsa, analysis of ecstasies in the Taittiriya Upanishad, 100 times greater than the ecstasy of human beings is that of the human-like Gandharvas. 100 times that the ecstasy of the god-like Gandharvas. 100 times that the ecstasy of the celestial forefathers. 100 times that the ecstasy of the Ajanaja demigods. 100 times that the ecstasy of the administrative demigods. 100 times that the ecstasy of the chief demigods. 100 times that the ecstasy of Indra. 100 times that the ecstasy of Indra's Guru Prihaspati. And 100 times that the ecstasy of Lord Brahma. And you calculating? And 100 times that the ecstasy of the Supreme. Okay, figure that out. No mention is made of any greater ecstasy than that. Okay, I got this word on Janaja. I think I have the wrong diacritics on it. Hold on a second. Okay. The souls trapped in illusion suffer from countless miseries in the three categories. Those caused by their own bodies and minds. Those caused by other creatures. And those caused by natural powers. But the underlying source of all these miseries is Maya, the Supreme Lord's material deluding energy. She can be counteracted only by a superior Shakti. And the only such Shakti, the only one superior to the material Maya, is the swabhavika and achintya spiritual energy of the Lord. Okay, that's the commentary on 11. We look at 12. This is another short anuchet. Techa svarupa shakti maya shakti paraspara virudhe. These two potencies, the internal energy and the maya energy, are mutually contrary. Tata tayor vitayash cha swa swa gana eva paraspara virudha api bhakvyaha. And many of their functions in their various categories are also mutually contrary. Their vrittis, their functions. Tatapi tasam ekam nidanam tadevet yaha. But still, that supreme is the one source of all these energies. As the Bhavatam states, the Sanskrit says tatapi tasam ekam nidanam tad. So there's two pronouns there, tasam and tad. Jiva Goswami is writing in very concise prose. It's sometimes difficult, if you're not exactly on top of it, to follow because there's so many pronouns and you have to identify which pronouns are referring to what. So tasam is feminine plural, it's the energies. Tad is that Brahman, the absolute truth, the tattva. Or the word was vastu, that was mentioned in the first verse of the Bhagavatam that was discussed in 11. You got to know that. When you see tad, you got to understand that goes back to vastu in the previous anuchet. Otherwise, you're lost if you can't identify the antecedents of the pronouns. The pronouns are just flying, you know, all over the place here in the Sundarbas. So I translated, I put that supreme into the translation to stand for tut. I take the liberty of plugging in the antecedents for the pronouns. Otherwise, the translation will be inscrutable. So, but still, that supreme is the one source of all these energies. As the Bhagavatam states, and it's stating it, let's see, 6431. So that's the Hamsa Guhya prayer is offered by Daksha. The verse is Yachaktayo Vadatam Vadi Nam Vai Vivada Sangvada Bhuvo Bhavanti Purvanti Chai Shang Muhur Atma Mohang Tasmai Namo Nanta Gunaya Bhumni. Okay, the verse is translated by Prabhupada. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views. He causes them to forget their own souls, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. This is a very nice translation. It's also very poetic. Maybe someone could come up with a slightly more literal translation, although it's pretty close. But it's also very, very elegant poetry. Prabhupada's translation. Atma Moham, it translates as... what is it, they forget their own souls? Anyway, it sounds nice. Explanation by Jiva Goswami. Yad yasya shaktayo vivadasya samvadasya chabuva stanani bhavanti. Sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing is what Prabhupada says. Jiva Goswami says, he whose energies are the locus, the basis of disputes and agreements. I mean, if we put that in the translation, it would be correct, but it wouldn't be poetic. Jiva Goswami's business here is to be analytic, to explain everything.
He also writes poetry. He read the Gopal Champu. He knows how to write poetry. But he's not using poetic language here. He's using analytic language. Prabhupada doesn't want to make an analytic translation. He wants to make a poetic translation. But the analytic, the analysis of it is, he whose energies are the locus or the basis of disputes and arguments. Locus. Locus means location. That's a fancy Latin word for location. But it's not just a physical location. It could be some metaphysical location. Like within red, the color red is located, you know, red is the locus of redness. Red is an abstraction to start with. It's just a quality. And then you got redness, which is an abstraction of an abstraction. So it's not a physical location in that case, but it's called a locus. Adhishtanam in Sanskrit. The rest of this statement, aspashtam. The rest of this statement is self-evident. There's a only one word here, aspashtam, in the text. I'm thinking maybe there was missing a word, anyat. Because he's explaining something, then he says it's obvious. Well, if it was obvious, he wouldn't have to explain it. I think what was really said here was anyat aspashtam. The rest of it is obvious. And therefore he doesn't explain the rest of it. I think there's a word missing in the manuscript. Anyat aspashtam. The rest of the statement is self-evident. Dakshak Shri Purushottamam. It was spoken by Daksha to Shri Purushottama, the Supreme Person. Okay, that's 12. There's no commentary on 12. I guess we don't need one. Let's see. Is there anything to be explained here? I'll just recap. There are two different energies, the internal energy and the material energy, the illusory energy. The Mayavadis only recognize the illusory force. And they don't want to say whether it's real or not real. We have two real energies, but one of them creates illusions in the consciousness of the living entities and creates the material and manifests the material energies. That's the Maya Shakti. They're mutually contrary. They're not inimical to one another. It just means they have contrasting qualities. They're different. And they each do things. They have functions. And their different functions are also contrary. They're quite different. The way that material Maya works is a lot different than the way spiritual Maya works. And there are many such contrary functions. Still, with all these functions, different functions, and many of them oppositions or contrasts, still there's one foundation of all of them, and that's Brahman. All these functions of both Mayas all come from Brahman. They're all his energies. So what? But this is what it means to be Bhagawan, to have all these energies. That being Bhagawan is real. It's not an illusion. Now we look at 13. Tata Yasmin Viru... another verse. This is from the fourth canto, spoken by Dhruva, ninth chapter. Tata, similarly, Yasmin viruda gatayo hyanisham patanti vidyadayo vivida shaktaya anupurvya tad brahma vishvabhavam ekamanantam adyam anandamatram avikaram aham papadye. It is also said, my dear Lord, in your impersonal manifestation of Brahman, there are always two opposing elements, knowledge and ignorance. Okay, that's what we were just talking about, them being viruddha, one against another. And here it's saying opposing elements in Prabhupada's translation. Your multi-energies are continually manifest. But Brahman, which is undivided, original, changeless, unlimited, and blissful, is the cause of the material manifestation. Because you are the same Brahman, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Comment by Jiva Goswami. Anupurvya swasvavarge uttama madhyama kanishna bhavena vartamana vividashaktayaha prayak paraspanam. There are in that Brahman manifold energies, vivida, in specific sequences. Anupurvya is the word in the text spoken by Dhruva. That means, according to Jiva Goswami, in specific sequences means manifesting each, these different energies, manifesting each in their own relatively greater, intermediate, and inferior categories. So in a hierarchy of higher and lower energies. Viruda gatayopi yasmin yad ashritya anisham patanti pravartante swa swa vyaparam kurvandiyatyartaha Shri Dhruva Priyam. For the most part, the actions of these energies are mutually contrary. It is under the shelter of that Brahman that these energies perpetually flow, act each in their own capacities. This verse was shown by Shri Dhruva to Shri Dhruva Priya. So sometimes you see politicians, although they've actually been lifelong friends, they end up running against each other for office. They're opposing one another or different opposite parties. And their friendship goes on, but they have to fight in public. Like that, material and spiritual energy are actually, well, the material energy is an offspring of the spiritual energy. So the daughter is not actually fighting against the mother. But from the viewpoint of us, the audience, in the material world, there's a great conflict between the material and spiritual energies. Actually, they're cooperating. But we seem to be caught up in a conflict. Who are we going to owe our allegiance to? Actually, they're friends. They're cooperating. But we have to decide to vote for the Republicans or the Democrats, to vote for Maya or Sarup Shakti. Okay. This verse was spoken by Shri Dhruva to Shri Dhruva Priya. That's Lord Vishnu who came down to Benedict Dhruva Maharaj. He's described by that name by Rupa Goswami in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, a special incarnation that appeared in response to the worship of Dhruva. There's a commentary. The material energies of Bhagavan serve him in two capacities, vidya and avidya, to influence finite souls. Avidya is the power of illusion, invisibly binding the fallen jivas by encouraging their misconceptions. And vidya is the enlightenment that frees them from this bondage. Okay, we have vidya as a function of the material energy. That is an idea that's there in the Upanishads. It's used by the Mayavadis to explain the reverse process of becoming free from illusion. But it's actually valid. The Mayavadis misinterpret it, that avidya, ignorance, this inconceivable energy that neither exists or doesn't exist, or you can't say what it is. It has another aspect called avidya. But that idea of vidya accompanying avidya, knowledge and ignorance together, two energies, two aspects of the material energy, that is bona fide, if understood in the right way. It's there in the Upanishads. Avidya is the power of illusion, invisibly binding the fallen jivas by encouraging their misconceptions. And vidya is the enlightenment that frees them from this bondage. Lord Dhruva Priya is the form of Narayana who rode down to earth on the back of Garuda to bless his 5-year-old devotee, Dhruva. Sri Rupa Goswami in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita 353-57 proves that Dhruva Priya is the same as Lord Prishni Garba, who appeared as the son of Prishni and Sutapa in the Manvantara of Swayambhuva. So he's a... It seems to be an incarnation for a special occasion, but he's one of the incarnations who has a mother and a father. It's actually Kashyapa and Aditi, who appeared previously as Prishnu and Sutapa, and later will appear as Vasudeva and Devaki. I'll take a look now at the Lagu Bhagavatamrita translation, see what it says. 353. Okay, I have to find it. A little tricky here because the files are... It doesn't say which sections in what file. Let me do this. Let me make a search. File 5, 7, and 8. That's too much. Dhruva comes up too many times. Hold on a second. Dhruva Priya, let me try that. Oh, 7. Let's try 5, 7. I think I got it. Okay, Sri Dhruva Priya is the 11th incarnation, according to Rupa Goswami. Tatraiva, and he quotes from the second canto, Vidak sapat nyudita patri biranti ragyo balo pisan upakatas tapase vanani tasma adad ruvagatim grinate prasano divyak stuvanti munayo yaduparya dastat. Sri Dhruva Priya is described in the same part of the second canto, 278, quote, being insulted by sharp words spoken by the co-wife of the king. Even in his presence, Prince Dhruva, although only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest. And the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages both upward and downward. Swayam, and then continuing, Swayam Bhuve, this is Rupa Goswami, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Swayam Bhuve Vatar Okter Namnas cha katanariha yagyadi nam chatatroktya parishesha pramanataha prasidya prishnigarbeti tadakyasya nigadyate hantayam advirdidya dhau padyegovardhan adrivat. Since this avatar is described as appearing in the Swayambhava Manvantara, since his name is not mentioned, and since this chapter mentions the names of Yajna and the other incarnations, thus inferring by elimination, this must be the avatar well known by the name Prishnigarbha. It's not mentioned his name, but you can, by a process of elimination, you can deduce this must be Prishnigarbha. A similar kind of reasoning is used in understanding that the hill referred to in the verse beginning, indeed this is the hill, Hantayam Adri, is Govardhan. Not indeed this is the hill, but indeed this hill is serving Krishna and Balaram very nicely. Spoken by the gopis is the Haridasa Varya, best servant of Hari. But the hill's not mentioned, but of course it's Govardhan. Tata Sri Dashame, and there's a statement in the 10th canto.
Twameva purva sarge buh prishni swayam bhuven sati tadayam sutapa nama prajapatira kalmashaha. Thus in the 12th canto, my dear mother, best of the chaste, in your previous birth, in the Swayambhuva millennium, you were known as Prishni, and Vasudeva, who is the most pious Prajapati, was named Sutapa. Aham Suto Vam Abhavam Prishni Garba Iti Smitaha. I became your son, known in the scriptures as Prishni Garba. In the commentary on this, Krishna spoke these words to his parents the night of his birth in Kamsa's prison, dungeon. Okay, we'll stop there for today. Right. Any questions, you can submit them. You have a few ways to do it. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.